Close to the microphone, James, ask questions and all that, and see a little better. I think we'll see better if you're close up to the screen. Ladies and gentlemen, being an academic in the Scandinavian part of the world, we are all always working with the so-called academic quarter. That means if it says 9 o'clock, we start 9:15. This is good for students, you know. If they wake up in the morning, oh, I have 15 minutes more to sleep. So, but in ICANN context, ICANN is not, as you know, an academic institution. It's a private, non-for-profit organization operating under Californian non-for-profit law. It has certainly an academic background in the history of the internet. So, but anyhow, I don't know whether we should follow the academic rules or we should just start because we're already 5 minutes late. And my experiences from about 35 ICANN meetings is that you have always a delay, but at the end of the meeting, but you start in time. And so far, you know, I welcome you. And even if we're still waiting for some more people in the room, I think it's good to have you here and to have a chance to talk a little bit about the coming work of the nomination committee, which has to select leaders for ICANN positions until the end of the month of June. After the Brussels meeting, we will have to fill in 7 new positions in the various ICANN committees, councils, and boards. The background for, I welcome also in particular members of the nomination committee. We are here since the beginning of the week. We had the various presentations in various councils and committees. That's also a reason why a number of people who had questions to the nomination committee had already a chance to listen to our presentation. Anyhow, you know, for people who are not participating in the council or committee meetings, we thought a workshop would be a good idea to exchange views, you know, to that you have a chance to ask questions and that you know also, you know, some members of the nomination committee in real life. So it's we have here Hong from China, Jose from Venezuela, we have Bill from the United States and Norbert from Cambodia and Olivier from France and Olaf Nordling is the ICANN staff representative who is also here. And my name is Wolfgang Kleinwächter. I'm chairing this year's nomination committee in my regular job. I'm a professor for internet policy and regulation at the University of Aarhus in Denmark. And I'm involved in ICANN issues since many, many years. As I said, this is my 36th ICANN meeting. And I served in the nomination committee already for 3 years, 2 years as a voting member and 1 year as an associated chair. And so this year I'm a non-voting chair. So I think this is one of the special internal regulations of the nomination committee, that we have 15 voting members which are delegated by the various ICANN constituencies to the nomination committee. But the chair is appointed by the board governance committee and has no voting rights. Like the associated chair has also no voting rights. The associated chair is Hartmut Glaser. He's also here, but he could not come from Brazil. Is nominated by the chair itself. And the advisor to the chair is the former NOMCOM chair, which is Tricia Twakes, a former ICANN director. She was the chair last year of the nomination committee, and she also was unable to come. So that you have a little bit better an overview, you know what the nomination committee is. So it's the community itself which selects the people for the leadership positions. So, and my role as the chair is to steer the debate, to have an open a dialogue among the NOMCOM members so that the voting members can make a reasonable decision if it comes to the final stage. But let me start with some slides. We have a short agenda, so I will have a very brief introduction, and probably we can have a short exchange on this, and all the other NOMCOM members can add some ideas. And later in this hour, Rod Bäckström will join us and will give his perspective. This is a good opportunity to raise this one point of the independence of the nomination committee. So while we are well aware that the decision-making body in ICANN is the ICANN board, the highest decision-making body, but the nomination committee is totally independent from the ICANN board. So that means the voting members of the board, as I said, were selected by the various constituencies, and the chair is nominated by the board governance committee, but I have not to report back to the board or to the board governance committee. So when they appointed me, I had also the guarantee that I chair the commission totally independent from the board. This is important so that the CEO, Rod Bäckström, cannot tell the committee and he cannot tell me whom to select, so if I have the candidate. So this is really, we are acting on behalf of the international community. Certainly, we are very interested to get the perspective of the CEO, because this is important. We sent them the people who has to work with, and it would be stupid, you know, to ignore, his approach and his expectations. But also to be sure, while we take this as additional food for thought, which, broadens our perspective, but it's not a directive we will get from the CEO that he says, I need this and this and this guy to the board, so this doesn't work. So we will make our own judgment based on the various criteria we which have here. I think we should go to the next slide. So as I said, NOMCOM sends people not only to the board, but also to the various CNSO Council, and the at large advisory committee. By the way, the nomination committee sends in total 8 directors to the board. That means the majority of the board members, the voting board members, are coming via the nomination committee. So that's a really, if you take this perspective, then the nomination committee has a key role, has a powerful role, because selecting the people means also, to influence at the end of the day the decisions of the board, because you send the voting members to the board. This year we have to fill 3 candidates for the board. We have to send 1 to the CNSO Council and 1 to the GNSO Council and 2 to the at-large advisory committee. The deadline for the submission is April the 2nd. We did not make the deadline April 1st. So then probably some people would have thought this is a joke. So that's why you got an additional day. So it's April the 2nd, where we close then the period for the accepting SOIs. And you will find all the information on the NOMCOM website, which is nomcom.icann.org. Next slide. What is the procedure? So that means as if you are interested to send an SOI, the only thing you have to do is really to send it. So the, go to the NOMCOM page. You have all the explanations there. By the way, we have also some flyers there in various languages, and we have other promotional material which you can take away and to distribute it among your friends. Because we are looking also for candidates, you know, which are outside the traditional usual suspects which are in the ICANN community. ICANN is as good as the people who lead it. And so we need fresh ideas. We need fresh people. And insofar, it's important to get outsiders who have certainly knowledge about ICANN, who understand ICANN's mission. But there is no need that you have been involved here for 10 years to be you know, considered as a serious candidate. If you bring skills which are add value to the board, if you bring knowledge which is has a substantial value for the global internet community, if you bring in particular you know, engagement, then you are a right candidate. So we are working under various time frames. So a board director is selected for 3 years, also a member for the country code name supporting organization is selected for 3 years, while the other two bodies, at large advisory committee and GNSO council, they are selected for 2 years. So it's a certain rotation, and we have certainly to follow some principles of diversity, geographical diversity, gender diversity, and others, so that we get always the right balance. Next slide, please, Olaf. So that means, what are the selection criteria? We have in our guiding principles and documents, all you can read all this. So we want to have persons who are have integrity, objectivity, intelligence, sound judgment, open mind, capacity for thoughtful group decision making, and so on. So, but I think first of all, we need people who love the internet, and we need people who love ICANN. But love, as we all know from our personal experience, includes also a very sometimes critical and relationship and conflicts. So that means we invite people who are critical with regard to ICANN, but who love ICANN, because, you know, we all know ICANN is the best animal in town, but it's not perfect, and we want to do it to make it better. And to make ICANN better, we need the right people in the board, in the various councils, in the various committees. And insofar, if you are not satisfied with ICANN, if you say, oh, ICANN does not deliver this or that, then you are right to candidate. So then it makes no sense just to raise your critical voice outside the community and to lament about, you know, that ICANN is bad or doing the things in the right way. So you should join, you should work within the various groups, and you should then, you know, help to make ICANN better. So there is no real barrier for making ICANN better. The only barrier is the people who are leading ICANN. So that means if you want to remove the barriers, if you want to create, you know, a better future for ICANN, then you are a right candidate. So I think this is really a more or less horizontal criteria, so that we want to have people who love ICANN but who are also critical of ICANN and have the energy and the courage, you know, to raise the voice and to say, okay, please stop here, do this or do that. So certainly we expect that the candidates have, you know, understand the internet, understand ICANN's mission, understands also ICANN's commitment to the model of participative governance. I think the multi-stakeholder governance principle is really an innovation in international global policy development. Normally, you know, policy is made by governments, and then private sector is lobbying governments, and civil society is demonstrating in the streets against wrong decisions of governments, and the technical community is providing services to all three stakeholders. So, but the ICANN model is totally different. Here, people from the various stakeholder groups are working hand in hand. This is a collaborative mechanism. This is a mechanism for enhanced cooperation, which includes enhanced communication, coordination, collaboration. So that means we have the experience here now that the Governmental Advisory Committee works together with the various non-governmental constituencies already in the beginning of a new issue when a policy process just starts. So they do not wait until the community comes with a result and then makes a governmental decision of yes or no. So that means working hand in hand with people with a different background, recognizing that they have a different role to play, but an important role to play, and to accept that the various stakeholders participate in their respective role in a global policy development. This is important. This is a new type. This is different from when you work just in a traditional private corporation or in a traditional non-governmental organization or in a traditional government. So, and this is a challenge. And if you are excited by this multi-stakeholder governance principle, you are really a perfect candidate. And certainly you have also to be ready to serve as a volunteer, so without compensation other than the reimbursement of certain expenses. For some people, this is an issue. If you have questions, I'm ready to answer these questions, but I think this has certainly to be mentioned. And it would be also very useful if you are able to work and communicate in English. I think this is another delicate issue because ICANN stands for diversity. We have just the IDN process and we have introduced more languages to the internet. And it's important that people have a chance to communicate in their local language, in Chinese, in Russian, in Cyrillic, in German, that's my own language, in Danish, you know, which I do not speak so perfectly, although I'm teaching in Denmark. So that means this is very good. But on the other hand, we are a global community. And so we live not anymore in the times when the Tower of Babel was built. So when, and then, you know, the confusion started with the different languages. So that means we have to recognize and to work towards language and geographical diversity. But we should also agree that in the interest of efficiency and of the delivery of concrete results, it's very helpful if you have a basic communication skills for English. So this has nothing to do with discrimination against your language. But it's just, you know, a simple thing that if you have to translate every email, and you get hundreds of emails if you are selected, then you will have a problem. So insofar, you know, you should know about this. There is no need that you speak perfectly English. So absolutely not. So that means I had a discussion with a lady from Senegal saying, you know, our main language is French, so I communicate a little bit in English, but I have some difficulties. And I encouraged her to send an SOI by saying, okay, your English is good enough that we can communicate here in a small talk. So and this is already sufficient. So but on the other hand, if you have no knowledge of English, then this would be bad and would be really a barrier. Okay, we have certainly to respect certain balances, culture, gender, geographic. At the moment, you know, we have just one voting woman on the ICANN board. And she goes out in the next year, not this year, but next year. And it would be bad if ICANN would become a men's club. So that's why I encourage in particular women on the table, and please tell to your friends and also the men in the room, tell your girlfriends, if they are love the internet, why they should not consider to apply if they, you know, have the qualifications and the skills and the knowledge. So we need strong and good women. So the Women's Day was just 2 days ago, and it's too late now to make to link this to the International Women's Day. But I think for the future of ICANN and the future of the internet, it's good if half of the population of the globe is, from a gender perspective, let's say, represented adequately in the board. So it's a special invitation to our ladies here. Next slide. How to proceed, and this brings me already to the end of our of this short presentation. As I said, you know, send the SOI until April the 2nd. And then you should give us also some references, three or four references, where some, you know, respected people of the community, you know, support your application. So that that we know, okay, this guy acts not only on behalf of him or herself, but he is recognized in a certain community, in your local community. It's good also to have some support, you know, which goes beyond your local community, so that we understand that you have a lot of contacts which go beyond your very special task you have in your day-to-day work. As an ICANN director or as a council member and committee member, you work for the whole global internet community. That means you should then also be aware that you have a lot of responsibility and obligations towards the whole global community, and you should be recognized also by this community. Thirdly, you have to have your main roots in your local community, but you have to have a global view. So there is no internet for Iran, there is no internet for Pakistan, there is no internet for Brazil or for Germany. And so that means it's a global internet, and that's the beauty of the internet. And ICANN's mission is, you know, to keep the unity of the internet and keep it in a stable and secure and resilient way that we can continue with this beautiful instrument which allows communication among millions and meanwhile billions of people around the globe. Okay, there is a final point I want to raise because this is important for a lot of people. This is a selection what the nomination committee does, not an election. We had in ICANN history, we had elections in the year 2000. And elections is a public campaign. You disclose to the rest of the world that you want to get a job and you want to become elected. So the election produced mixed results. Some people were enthusiastic about this, others were more skeptical. And in the reform process of ICANN, then the nomination committee was introduced as a procedure to find candidates and for the board. And one of the basic principles was the principle of confidentiality. And confidentiality is not, some people call this is a conspiracy. 15 people sitting in a room making, you know, deals, horse trading, you know, if you accept my friend, then I will support your friend. So this is totally nonsense. This does not take place. So it is I've worked in Sweden nomination committees, and other NomCom members worked in even, I think Bill Manning was in 5 or 6 nomination committees, Jose was in 3. So all they will prove that this is not, it's totally unrealistic that if you have a very personal agenda, you cannot do it in the nomination board. But why then it's confidential? It's confidential to protect the candidate. Because if you apply and you are not selected, you are not a loser. Because if you are in an election and you win the election or you lose the election, then you are a loser. If you apply for a job under the existing regulations of the nomination committee, nobody will know that you have applied. If you disclose it to your friends, that's a different story. That's out of the nomination committee responsibility. But if you want to keep this confidential, then we will treat your application as a very confidential application. And this is in so far important, because if you are not selected, very often this has nothing to do with your personal skills. This has nothing to do that you are not qualified for the job. So very often we have a constellation that we have 7, 8, or 9 final candidates, which all, you know, would fit perfectly into the board. But you have only 2 or 3 seats. Then you have to make a choice. And then additional criteria come in, like geographical balance, like gender, like, you know, age or something like that. So there are a lot of other criteria. And for instance, this year, if you look into the composition of the board, then we see that we have already, bigger representation of some regions like North America, but, more or less unbalanced representation in the Asian-Pacific region, where the whole Asian-Pacific region is represented by an Australian, and a guy from New Zealand, and India. And big communities like China, Korea, or Japan, you know, which have non-ASCII languages, in particular in the time of the IDN, are not represented in the board. So I think this is certainly a criteria that if it comes to the final selection, that we say, okay, from a geopolitical point of view, does ICANN really represent the global internet community in an adequate way? And certainly here we have to find a certain balance. We are obliged by the bylaws that at least each of the 5 regions is represented with 1 director. So we have 3 outgoing European directors. If we would say, okay, enough Europeans, we close it for Europe, then Europe would have no voting director in the board. So that means we are obliged by the bylaws to send at least one European director back to the board. So and so that means these are additional issues, you know, which will influence the final selection. And I understand very well that then a well-qualified candidate, you know, who is not selected is frustrated at the end of the day and said, you know, I did send my SOI, I did send, you know, good references, and I'm not selected. So these are stupid people in the nomination committee because, you know, this was certainly a black deal. So this is really not true. The only answer I can give is remain in the pool. When you send an SOI, there is a box you can cross which says, do you accept if you are not selected to be considered the next year? So, and we have extended this now for 3 years. So that means if you apply under the 2010 nomination committee procedures, then you will be considered automatically if you do not opt out. Will be considered automatically in the year 2011 and the year 2012. So I think your application is not just for this year. It's for the next 2 years. And because, you know, the composition of the board is changing every year because six other directors coming from the supporting organization influencing the geographical distribution. And one voting director will become via the at-large advisory committee to the board. So all this, that means the whole picture changes from year to year. And we have to take this into consideration. So we, in June and end of June, when we have to make the final selection, then we will know what is the present composition of the board. And by taking this then into consideration, the final decision will certainly be influenced by also these geopolitical considerations. So this is what I wanted to say. And now it's open for Q&A. Okay, go ahead. And it would be good to introduce yourself, and I invite also other fellow NOMCOM members to say something from their perspective, in particular probably Hong from the Asian Pacific perspective, and others also, Jose from Latin America, you from Europe, or Bill from North America. Okay, go ahead.
Lee Williams from the financial community. Is it possible to extend the terms of any of the three who are completing their current terms on the board?
Yes, you know, you have under the ICANN bylaws, you can be reappointed for a second term. So that means you can continue to serve three more years. So, but then it comes to an end. We had a very interesting case a couple of years ago when the term from Vint Cerf, who was the chair of the board, terminated. He was also sent by the nomination committee once and then for a second term. And when this expired, some people proposed to the nomination committee a lex Vint Cerf to allow him to continue another 3 years. And Vint never asked for this, and the nomination committee never considered this because we say, okay, this is an independent committee. We have such a rich community with so many brilliant people from in all corners of the world, and why we admire Vint Cerf's work, and he was certainly a great chairman of the board. So I think and from today's perspective, it was a very wise decision because it kept the independence of ICANN and also produced a counter argument for some blame which says, okay, this is, you know, a family where they make black deals.
In your selection criteria,
Could you introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Paul Muchene. I'm a participant from Kenya, and I just wanted to know about your selection criteria. And you mentioned integrity, objectivity, intelligence, sound judgment, and open-mindedness. But how do you determine that a candidate has all these, let's call it, these qualities when he or she submits the application?
When you go to the SOI, you will see you have to answer some questions about it. You have to give your biographical background, your professional background, and also you have to answer some questions. So that gives us a first impression. And based on this and based on the material of the references, our plan is to produce a shortlist. And with the there will be then professional interviews done by a consulting firm, which will interview the candidates to find out, in particular, two special types of skills. One is the communication skills, and the other one is the personality skills. You know, these firms have a very good methodology developed over the years. They are acting on the global market. They are interviewing people for leading positions in corporations, in organizations, and things like that. So, and, you know, they will give us a feedback. So it's an external consulting firm which will interview on the spot these people in the so-called second round. And based on the feedback, then the nomination committee members themselves will check and analyze what about your ICANN knowledge, so whether you are familiar with ICANN or not. So this, we have three, let's say, types of interviews, two for professional skills and communication skills, and one, the third one on ICANN skills. And then we produced another shortlist for the final candidates. And probably it's not yet decided because we have to discuss this also among the full nomination committee, whether we would have a second round of deep diving interviews with the remaining rest for the which remain in the pool until the very last end. So that means it would be good for you if you consider to write an SOI to take this criteria very seriously and to give us some supporting information which would demonstrate that you have a lot of this qualities. For instance, if you have chaired a group in your community, if you have led a policy process either in a company or in an NGO, although I think these are important information for the nomination committee to know, okay, this guy is not just an individual member who has an interest, but he has already carried certain responsibilities. He understands to communicate with others. He's a member of a network. All these are important information which should be in your SOI. Okay, more questions. Okay, go ahead. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, Radu Parvu from Dexov, Romania. Will age be a criteria?
To a certain degree, yes. And the argument is that we have to have the next generation of leaders in ICANN. So when I said it should not be a men's club, I could add it should not be an old men's club. So that means we have to have the next generation of leaders there. I think the last nomination committee, where I not was involved, selected a rather young guy from Chile, wasn't it? So he was in the 30s, yeah? 30? 32, yeah. So I think this is the youngest ICANN director forever so far. I don't know if you are 31, then you would beat him. So, but I think this is really, at least for me as a chair, I would welcome applications from people from in their 30s. And because I myself, I'm the chair of a summer school on internet governance, which we created. And so we invest a lot in people, and our slogan is teaching the internet governance leaders of tomorrow. And we have to start now to invest into these people. Probably if you are in your 30s, you should apply for the at-large advisory committee or for the for one of the councils so that you can also learn and get the qualifications to become later a director. But age is, in particular in your case, probably a winning point, not a losing point.
So Wolfgang?
Yeah?
Age is a constraint. You have to be, because you will be a director, you have to be a fiduciary, which means you have to be legally capable of handling that. So a 12-year-old cannot become a director, right? The board has a fairly extensive and difficult set of schedules. There are these regular ICANN meetings, which are in many different places. The board has retreats, so there's an extensive travel schedule. You're expected to participate. If your health won't let you do that, or your age won't let you do that, you probably shouldn't consider it. So common sense bounding on either end, because you will end up being a fiduciary of this organization, you really do need to have that kind of age and expertise.
I was actually asking because I'm only 24, And although I have a big portfolio and experience, I know I'm very young. So I would like to know if I would have a chance.
In your case, by the way, I would recommend that you apply for the At-Large Advisory Committee, because we, in the At-Large Advisory Committee, we have a system that we select this year two members from Europe and North America, next year three members for Asian Pacific, Latin America, and Africa. So that means this year is good for a European candidate. And I think being in the At-Large Advisory Committee would allow you to get more knowledge about ICANN, to be pulled into the process, to create your own networks and your own contacts. It would then probably enable you, you know, to apply in coming years for a council position or even for a board position. So, but I think the point Bill made is very important. That's why I didn't say talk about a 12-year-old boy. But I think if you are in your 30s, you are not too young for the board. So I didn't mention it, a teenager. So this is certainly a difference. But the general approach, and this was my message, is that this organization, this corporation, needs fresh ideas coming from the next generation of leaders. And we certainly, as in my position as an academic, it's my responsibility to teach the people. But then, you know, such corporations like ICANN benefit from fresh ideas coming from the next generation leaders.
Hello, Wolfgang. Fawad Bajwa from Pakistan. I am a second-time fellowship alumni to the ICANN meeting. My question comes in the sense of that to serve on the board, obviously, you represent such a large and vast internet community. It's such a big responsibility. And sometimes you see some people who are already engaged with the ICANN, and they're contributing immensely. If, in the case, if, for example, they might be serving on some body like GNSO already as counselors, are they eligible to be nominated by the community?
I think you cannot have two positions at the same time. This would exclude each other. But if you have served in one of the councils, I think this is certainly an additional value, because then you have inside knowledge, which is helpful for the board. I think this is absolutely clear. And by the way, Bruce Tonkin and others made it via the council to the board.
The idea comes from the sense I was reading the nominating procedure to nominate someone else. And it says it also keeps, we have the option to keep ourselves confidential.
Yeah.
Right, from the candidate.
That's right.
So just in case the candidate is selected and he's offered and he wants to leave his old position, so that's also possible? That he leaves his counselor and he goes as a board then?
Certainly, we have to look in that this could be a very individual case. But as long as he applies under the rules of the nomination committee procedure, then you know, his application is treated in a confidential way. If he decides to disclose it, either to the chair of the council or then it's up to him. So, but I think we take the SOI as it is, and we certainly take into consideration that this guy has worked in a board. On the other hand, it's also for sure that if you are a member of a special community which has an own supporting organization and which has an own channel to send members to the board, like the GNSO or the CNSO or the ASO, then this could raise an issue that we say, okay, for some members of the community, why they could have a chance to use two channels, either the normal channel via their own supporting organization to go to the board or via the nomination committee. I think in the Bruce Tonkin case, this is a very good example. He was, after he served in the GNSO Council, was nominated by the GNSO Council and was sent to the board. That means for a former council member of the GNSO Council or CNSO Council, my recommendation would be apply under the CNSO and the GNSO and the ASO procedures if you want to become a board director. So, but every case is has to be handled individually, and it will be the wisdom then of the 15 voting members of the nomination committee whether they see the very specific concrete case as an exception or this could be accepted or not. So that means there is no general answer to your basic questions. But before I ask the next questions, I want to welcome Rod Bäckström, the CEO and president of the ICANN board. And we are very proud that we have him here. He was, from the very early moment, very supportive to the nomination committee. He came to our first meeting in Seoul, gave us his perspective. He was engaged in a number of outreach activities in Berlin and in Beijing just recently. And I explained to the people here in the room that the nomination committee works totally independent.
So important. Interested in moving the organization forward. It has been built on incredible efforts, blood, sweat, and tears of ICANN community participants like you. From the standpoint of the CEO, as I mentioned to NomCom in Seoul, when you were kind enough to ask me to come in and speak, I mentioned that one of our hopes was that we would have more participation on the board from Asia. For example, and at that event, Professor Hong kindly offered to organize a ginger tea party in Beijing, and that took place just this last week. It was a beautiful, wonderful event, and with many excellent candidates there, and Chinese internet founders, pioneers of the industry, as well as new people involved. So I just wanted to formally thank you, Dr. Hong, for that wonderful event. And so that relates to the theme. A few of the themes: continued internationalization of ICANN. We have quite a global board, but would like to see that continue. We've had a little bit less participation, from Asia than some other regions. It would be very nice to see that involved, but all over from the world, leadership is needed on the board. I'll also mention that the second thing that I brought up in Seoul, I'll mention again, is senior business experience and leadership, specifically experience on large organizational boards of directors. That was an echo, interesting echo. On large boards, because there's a lot of very fairly complex and intricate processes and procedures that go with large organizations. And so it would be nice to have participants that, A, represent business interests that aren't necessarily just the domain name business, but broader commercial sector of the economy we would very much like to see involved. And particularly, it would be a double win to have someone from the commercial sector, again, with that large organizational experience or being involved in it, for example, a trade association or NGO that handles that area. So those are some of the wishes. But, of course, you know, the thing we hope most for is what all of you probably want to deliver. And we get from our directors is incredible amounts of time. Our board members, many of them spend half time being a board of director member of ICANN, and that means 20 to 30 hours a week. It is an incredible workload of documents, information, reading, networking, committee meetings, because the board is the final approval process on the policy shop of ICANN. Some members spend a little bit less than that. Some spend considerably more, the chair, vice chair, some of the committee chairs. But it is an extremely demanding board because of the incredible amount of policy and information flow up to the board for approval, as well as all the community engagement and outreach. So it is a very demanding and challenging board to be on. And actually, you know, I've given you an estimate of what it takes to be a board member. I mean, Wolfgang and others here have been on the board, so their expertise is better. And I may have, like, broken the rules by talking about how big the time commitment can be, but maybe that's a worst-case scenario. But in any event, very exciting point in history as the domain name industry continues to evolve. With further global expansion, with the likely introduction of new generic top-level domains in the not-too-distant future, as well as DNSSEC, the ascendancy of cybersecurity issues. There's just a huge amount going on, and globally in countries all over the world, Internet issues are elevating. And we've seen this even in the United States of America, where it was more just in one department until a year or two ago, and now most of the issues are elevated up to the interagency group in the White House. And, of course, in commerce, it's more important than ever. And we see the same thing in countries all over the world. I heard the same thing on my trip to Asia, that more and more departments and agencies were getting involved in countries there. So it is an important role. This is a precious institution, and I'm just excited to see more people interested in serving. Thank you very much, Wolfgang.
Thank you very much. Rod, are there questions directly to Rod, and would you accept questions? Okay, so it's a unique opportunity to ask direct questions, also, which would probably could go also beyond nomination procedure. So that means we want to exploit you if you are here. So it's a unique opportunity. So who has any questions?
Great. That was an efficient Q&A session.
Wonderful. Then,
yeah. Thank you
once
very
again,
much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And you will see the results end of June after the Brussels meeting.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Before you go, CEO, I just want to first of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Chris. I'm from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And my question should is in light to, you have indicated that the person should be, have a background on the commercial side. And are you talking about on the financial more, or are you, you know, what should be then covered in order to be eligible? Yes, thank you.
Sure, thank you, sir. First thing I was mentioning was, you know, as a CEO, I seek continued global participation in the board. I think it's critical, as ICANN's a global institution. As a separate criterion, not necessarily for all the same candidates, a separate criterion, I feel that we would benefit from a commercial perspectives that are not just domain name industry participants, registrars, registries, sort of the conventional parties that tend to get heavily engaged in ICANN because there's so much economic importance and strategic importance to policy importance to their business. And in terms of what that business is, I don't have a strong opinion. The preference I would have is to see some candidates with large organizational board experience. So I would define large organization either in terms of revenues of the organization, you know, being multi-billion dollar companies or nonprofits or at least hundreds of millions of dollars, or if you ignore the revenue base, look at the employees or the span of industry that a group is involved in. But this, the ICANN board is a very complex board to operate. I'm not sure the exact number. You can see online. I think we have at least six different board committees. They're very active. The board has multiple roles. It's not a normal board has a job to hire and fire the CEO, you know, approve the strategic plan, approve budgets, and then basically monitor performance against those at a high level. It's more of an oversight and a policy function. This board, in addition to all that, has to review policies that are developed by the supporting organizations, which are also being recruited for here, information they have to consider. Information comes in from the advisory community. So in ways, they're like a legislature as well as a conventional board of directors. So it's a dual role, which is why the workload is so significant on the board, is that it has an incredible amount of issues to deal with every single meeting. When I came in as CEO, my first request was to decrease the board meetings from 12 a year down to 6, simply because the demands on staff are so absolutely enormous for the board preparation. Now I realize that that's probably not even feasible, the amount of processing of items. But we have reduced from 12 to 9. Ignoring the two special meetings that the chairman called in the last month that were very limited one-hour duration calls or hour and a half, specifically on some security items that we were reviewing for this event. Those were extraordinary meetings that I requested and the chairman then called meetings for, because I wanted to make sure that the board fully participated in the decisions regarding moving forward. Those were exceptional. So, but we are now have moved to 9 board meetings a year. 3 include are at these international meetings, and 2 are typically at retreats somewhere in the world. So we have a reduction of 3, which I was encouraged by. But initially, I had thought, you know, and Wolfgang's laughing because he's been on the board. You know, he knows how, you know, the amount of policy documents that had to be processed, et cetera. Anyway, so it's a unique board. It has a very unique role and, of course, very important for the world in helping to keep the Internet unified. And because that's what the domain name system does. There is no other central coordination body in the Internet. There is an incredible standards body called the IETF and another standards body, W3C, okay? But they're not operational. They develop standards. The only daily coordination function is the Internet route that ICANN handles. So ICANN has a special role, and it also has a special role in Internet governance as a part of a broader solution that IGF is engaged in and other bodies around the world. So I hope so. So again, no specific business or line. It's just this is a big, complex organization. It's going to be getting larger. And so in addition to sort of the people that have the passion and interest in the specific area of what we do, Internet policy and the domain name field, looking for sort of broader board experience and, yeah, and business experience.
Okay. Thank you, Rod. And if I look at the watch, then we are perfect in timing. So we have still 6 minutes to go. If there are still some questions or some other interventions, I ask already Hong. Probably you can give a very specific Asian-Pacific perspective, and so that you can listen also to some other approaches than my own one.
Thank you, Wolfgang.
Okay.
I assume nomination committee would be really happy to see more application from those presently and the representative and the represented community in ICANN. We'll be happy to see these people to take the leadership role in ICANN. For and the represented community, I mean women, especially as Wolfgang has mentioned. We really encourage more women to apply, especially for the position on the ICANN Board of Directors. I especially encourage women from developing countries and regions to apply, to take the leadership role. Secondly, I emphasize the importance for those community with the fast-growing Internet population. What we can see is that presently in the world, India and China has the largest Internet population outnumber that in the United States. So for these fast-growing Internet populations, they will need to have a proper representative on ICANN board and other constituencies. So, of course, we strongly encourage SOI submission from these fast-growing regions. The third point, I assume we should really encourage those potential growing Internet community. That is specifically from Africa. Our local host did a wonderful job, and we can see the local talents, the women and men, have great potential, and they should really involve in this process. Well, you can actually submit your SOI and have the experience first. went through the interval and see how far you could go. Probably this kind of exercise and the part of the capacity building. Once you learn through the process, you can move to the second step. So I encourage you strongly and coldly encourage you to send your SOI to us. Don't be frightened by this process. Especially I see some wonderful lady from the African community. They're highly talented. They show great skill on international liaison and organization. Well, I guess these women, wonderful ladies, they should really come to us. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Hong. There was still a question. Could you also introduce yourself?
Hi. My name is Sarmaz Hussain. I'm from Pakistan. First of all, thank you very much for the introduction to the NORMCOM process. Just to understand this a little bit more, could you also share with us how the NORMCOM members are selected? And I just want to understand more about the NORMCOM organization itself.
Yes, you know, the NORMCOM members has 15 voting members, and the NORMCOM nomination committee has 15 voting members and 6 non-voting members, which includes the chair, the associated chair, the advisor to the chair, and 3 other liaisons. The 15 voting members, 5 coming from the at-large advisory committee. So that means each regional at-large organization has a right to send one delegate voting member to the nomination board. So I think it's important to understand that the users, because the users are represented via the at-large advisory committee, so have 1/3 of the voting power to influence the final decisions. And the other 10 voting members coming from the various constituencies, that means from the GNLO constituencies, the registries, the registrars, the ISPs, and non-commercial, send always, you know, one, the CNSO, I think, sends one, and the other groups also. That everything is explained in detail on the NORMCOM website, that you know who are the voting members, and there are also the CVs of the of all members of the nomination committee. That means if you want to know who makes the decision about your application, then there's full transparency with regard to the composition of the nomination committee. And all these selection processes for becoming a member of the NORMCOM are independently, so there is no trade-off. So that means nobody can influence the European regional at large organization to send this lady or this man to the nomination committee. Yeah, Olivier, please add some words.
Thank you, Wolfgang. One question which is often asked, or which I have been asked from people who might put through a statement, is the question of whether they should have one application for one specific post or whether they should apply for more than one post and whether it changes the chances of them being elected.
Yeah, you can apply for all the jobs, but you should have a clear signal, a priority, and you should apply to a maximum of 3, not for all the 4 open positions. But you should indicate your first priority, and then there's a box where you can say, okay, in case I'm not considered for this, I would accept also a consideration for at large or for one of the councils. Yeah. By the way, we are kicked out now as the room. It's exactly 4 o'clock. I thank you for coming. I hope that you will distribute this information also to your colleagues and friends. Deadline is April 2, and I hope to see you soon in one of the next ICANN meetings as one of the ICANN leaders. Thank you very much, and see you.
Hello, is anyone else on the call?
Hello, is this?
Hi, I'm just going to patch you into the conference right now, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Join us. This one just needs to...
Can I have this, please? Okay.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Patricio.
Hi, Patricio. We're waiting for it to start.
Okay.
Hello, who do we have online?
Patricio Bobletti here.
Patricio, are you there?
Yes.
Patrick Hossein is also here.
Is anyone online?
We have Patrick and Patricio and myself.
Sorry, is that you, Christina?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Can we have some more sound on the line, please? Some more volume on the line, please?
Yeah.